Welcome to Experience Grind's bonus round, where we deliver all that discussion you love in 10 minutes or less. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Kyle.
And today we're going to be talking about Netflix's new TV show, Stranger Things.
Correct. And I'm very excited to talk about this. We're just going to get right into it. This will not have a spoiler warning, as you probably heard, because we're not going to spoil anything because I don't want to here. This is new. This is fresh. We're just going to give a basic overview. So Stranger Things, to me, I think this is the exact way you presented it to me, is it's like Stephen King wrote a really long Netflix episode wrote a really long X-Files episode.
Yeah.
That is the most perfect description I can think. That's what I tell people.
And then got it produced through Amblin and all those 80s films that you love, like The Goonies and E.T.
I just want to take in, like, the fucking music is so perfect.
Well, it's the synth. It's very, like, John Carpenter.
Very John Carpenter-esque, mm-hmm. Very 80s movie-esque. The thing, this show really makes me think that, like, the whole Stephen King thing with his media started about two decades too late. And I would really like to see Netflix actually pick up and adapt some Stephen King stories into it. I think they would do great as one-offs, because his stuff always got turned made for TV movies because his shit's so long, but then it gets neutered so hardcore that you lose all of the edge to it.
Yep.
Which Netflix now can keep that edge, and by God, they keep the edge with this show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, what do you like about this?
Everything you just said, it is a love letter to those 80s movies that I love, and it's very referential. In many shots, you'll see variations. Like, there's a scene that very closely mirrors Aliens in, like, the first opening, and then, like, there's a lot of Signs imagery with the alien that you do or do not see, like, and it's left up to your imagination. There's imagery from Close Encounters, from E.T. One of the characters is dressed up in an outfit that is eerily similar to the outfit they dressed E.T. up in to take him out into public.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, all these small little references. That's great. That's nostalgia. That's, like, the bonus. But really, like, it's just such a well-written show. Like, the dialogue is very smart, and the mystery keeps you invested all the way through the 8 hours.
That's my big thing, is that it reminds me a lot of a Lost, in that it's answering questions while giving you new ones and drip feeding it. You have finished it. I have not fully finished it, but I am fully on board. I'm assuming it's not going to conclude and there is going to be more.
It feels like the story could end there, all except for, like, one niggling little detail.
Okay.
But I could see this as the end of a movie and be like, oh, okay, cool. And, like, if they make a sequel, awesome. But, like, that's cool. Like,
okay, so it does have a pretty good wrap-up. Yeah,
it's a very Twilight Zone-y ending.
Excellent. Yeah, you know, Twilight Zone flavor there, too.
It's kind of ambiguous and up in the air. And that's why it's, like, there's niggling things, but, like, it's been done before and it works well. It's not like there's still a lot more story to go. Like, if Lost ended in season one, it's not a show anymore.
No.
Because nothing was resolved. But this has arcs for all the characters and for the entire mystery. It's wrapped up. There's more we can learn, but everything is just finished by the end of this show for the most part.
This show has Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
And she is fantastic in this show.
Okay.
You don't like her as much as I do?
No.
She's not my favorite. I think my favorite is the sheriff.
The sheriff's my favorite.
He leads, and he is such a fucking commanding force, and it's so fun to watch every time he's on screen.
Oh, he has, like, he has some very roguish kind of characteristics. Yeah. Like, he almost reminds me of Harrison Ford.
I could see that. The thing with Winona Ryder is that she plays a grief-stricken mother, and that's not a lot to do. Like, but I think what she's given, she does so well.
I think she swings for the fences every single time, and, like, she's bringing her A game.
Yes, absolutely.
Sometimes her A game, or not A game, but sometimes the hysterical woman thing kind of hits a little too one-note-y and a little bit flat, and maybe even over the top at times. And that's maybe why, like, I don't think her performance is great, but she did really have a tough part in this,
and she I think she did fantastic.
I think she did well. I wouldn't say she's fantastic, but I know several people have said that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed everything about her so far.
I think it's the sheriff and
L is great. All the kids in this, like, man, kid actors usually piss me off so bad, and not all of them are so well cast. And it's like, fucking, they're really kids, and they are kids, and it's not like there's a lot of times with there's kids that you can tell are acting.
Yeah.
And it's, but these kids, it's all so natural. Mm-hmm. So and that's a great bonus.
They're not like
take
your
you out.
Cute little Hollywood Muppets either.
No.
Like, they are what Hollywood would consider unattractive kids.
And that's way better.
And I do. So it brings realism and it's just, it's quirkiness. Like, yeah. I don't want to see like the same kind of mop headed child that we see in every movie. Sometimes they're fun. Like, I love Iron Man 3 because of the mop headed child and what they do with it. But it's the same thing in every movie. And I love just how unique all these kids are.
And I didn't find this out till today, but I will just say this and not spoiler as much. But the head scientist is the dude from Full Metal Jacket.
Matthew Modine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
He got old.
Yeah.
He got real old.
But he still fucking brings it.
Yeah. Oh, his character's great.
Yeah. All of it. I mean,
he's like the smoking man.
Almost yeah, I would agree with that. I really, you know, everybody I have met and talked to in work and in life, I pitch this show. It is absolutely amazing. It hooks you, like you said, from the first 10 minutes, the opening is so good.
It's so good, those first 8 to 10 minutes, that Netflix just went ahead and put them up on YouTube free for everybody to get people to subscribe.
Yeah.
Because they are that powerful and just striking visually.
It's so fucking good. Mm-hmm. So I personally cannot recommend this show more. I know we had a bit of a back and forth. I was completely miscalculated in my saying that Netflix is 50-50 on the shows.
Oh, yeah. Netflix is quality. And when we were talking, I forgot, there's BoJack Horseman, too, and F for Family.
F is for Family, which is one of my favorites. And I was like, holy shit, how did I forget F is for Family?
The worst thing is it's only 6 or 8 episodes. It's over so quick.
But they're already on to season 2. I listened to Bill Burr's podcast.
Awesome.
And season 2 is done writing. And so it will be out, I think he said, Christmas this year.
Good. I just hope it's a lot more.
Yeah, I do, too.
Like, we could get a 13. Episode F is for Family.
I would be okay with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but Netflix is really actually fully crushing it a lot lately. I predict the death of TV hopefully in the near future. You could not do this show on TV. I would hate this show mm-hmm. on basic cable, I feel.
Yeah. And all right, so you can make the argument like, if it's R-rated, it could be on Stars, HBO, or Showtime. But what I really like that they don't usually do on those channels is some of the episodes are 40 minutes. Some vary up to 65 minutes. Like, they can pace the episode accordingly with the time. They're not restricted to like a set time where sometimes there's filler. Or sometimes it's too condensed because you had to get it in time. Like, these shows can breathe on their own.
Yep.
And they work.
And it works. And they're not constricted to, hey, you've got to stretch this out over 22 episodes. It's more of, give us what you have. Mm-hmm. Give us quality, not quantity. Because we don't have to show it every week and please advertisers. So I love all of this that Netflix is doing. All you Netflix execs that listen and watch, fucking nice. Keep it going.
Little less Adam Sandler. A little less.
I think Adam Sandler plays some of the bills, and I can get it. I mean, I agree, me personally, but you got to get in bed with that beast sometimes, too.
All right. Compromise. No real Rob season 2 ever.
Okay, fine.
There.
And, you know, I will take this to just give a big nod off to as well. BoJack Horseman season 3 has started, and that is one of Sound Engineer Andy's favorite shows. I have never seen him more excited about anything, and he is so excited about this show as well.
Oh, my season God. Three, we have something we both him, like.
Season 3 is holding up. It's holding up, you would say. Yeah, he agrees too. So check that out too. It's fucking great. It's got Will Arnett, Aaron Paul, and
so pretty much just subscribe to Netflix.
Yeah,
we recommend
really
it.
What you need. So that's gonna be pushing the limit of this, and we're gonna go ahead and shut the fuck up and go ahead and go fuck yourself.
There you go.
And thank you. This is the bonus round.